God, today we worship you in song and in prayer. We worship you as children and as adults. And we want to learn today as well. Teach us from your word. Teach us things you want us to know and show us things you want us to do. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You know, there's this commercials about going nose blind to smells in your home, right? It's some sort of air freshener commercial. And that we do. We get used to them. We know them. But other people come in, they would smell them. Sometimes I think you can go sight blind, not literally, but you don't notice things that are normal. And sometimes you can't see things. That piece of furniture is supposed to be right there. I have no earthly idea how it is there or how that I missed it when I was setting up for church this morning. I have no idea. It's a mystery beyond me. But I was sitting here during the first song and went, huh? Why is that there? I have no idea. It has nothing to do with the sermon. It wasn't an object lesson, but it really threw me off for a little while because I've been puzzling for the last 15 minutes of why and who, because that is a heavy piece of furniture. It takes two people to get it up here. So somehow, I don't know. I have no idea. So does... It would be the first time in a while. Maybe so. Good. Well, then they needed... I have no idea why I didn't see that earlier. Anyway... You can tell that threw me off quite a bit this morning. The Good Samaritan parable is one of the most difficult passages to preach on and teach on. It seems straightforward and easy, but it's not, because one of the reasons is it's so well known. Many of you have heard the story your whole life. We have hospitals named after Good Samaritans. We've got laws named after the Good Samaritan. And we have heard it. We've heard it. People put it into an allegory where every little detail means something. So it makes it a very difficult passage to talk about. But I want you to bear with me as we walk through some of these things this morning. First of all, the parable itself is an answer to a question in the middle of a very distinct conversation. There's a religious leader, a legal expert, wanting to test Jesus. We don't really know why. We don't have the background on what exactly he's trying to catch and test Jesus on. But he asks the question, what do I need to do to have eternal life? And Jesus turns it back to him and says, well, what do you think the law of Moses says? What's your reading? And then let's discuss it. A man says, we got to love God and love your neighbor. Jesus said, of course, you're exactly right. Next question. But then the scripture says, Luke tells us that this man wants to justify his actions. Well, we don't know what those are either, right? We don't know what actions the man is trying to justify. Or maybe they're inactions. I don't know. But whatever. It says he's trying to justify, and he turns to Jesus and he says, who is my neighbor? Because that seems real straightforward. But is it people that just look like me? Is it just people that are really in my proximity, that they're in my neighborhood? Is it people who only speak the same language I do? Who is it? And that's when Jesus tells the story. And he tells a story about the Jewish man. And everybody here, it's a very distinct story for Jesus, because a lot of his parables, they don't go into a lot of details and adjectives about the characters within the parables. But he's very specific in this one. We've got a Jewish man traveling along the road. So I think we have to pay attention to those details. The Jewish man traveling along the road gets taken in by bandits, gets beaten up and left for dead. Then a Jewish priest comes along and walks by. And there's a lot of things that can be made, a lot of different ideas of how to justify the priest's behavior. Because if he actually went and helped him and touched him, then he would be ritually unclean. He would not be able to fulfill his duties at the temple. So he has some good excuses for not doing it. But I don't think that's the real important part of this story. The Jewish guy walks on the other side. Now there's a temple assistant that would presumably also be Jewish, or he wouldn't be working in the temple. The temple assistant comes by, and this one, he gets a little bit closer and looks at the man. There's also all kinds of excuses why he wouldn't touch a dead body or touch one that he presumed to be dead. But I don't think that's what Jesus was really looking at this story. Because then came the Samaritan. Now, if you don't know, Samaritans and Jews did not like one another. They were always dealing with one another with a great deal of animosity. There was a lot of prejudice. And they lived in close proximity to one another and despised one another. But the Samaritan walks by and sees the man in the ditch and cares for him, takes him to the inn, does first aid, then even pays the innkeeper to continue caring for him even though he can't. Each one of those parts could have a sermon in and of itself. And you've probably heard those. But I want you today to think about Jesus. Because I think Jesus is not only the narrator or the teller of this story, but Jesus, there is a Christ-like character in this story. And it's not the Good Samaritan. The Christ-like character in this story is the man in the ditch. Bear with me. Think about it for a minute. Jesus tells a different parable at a different time about a man, a king, who is going to separate sheep from goats. And he says, he puts the sheep on one side and the goats on the other. And to those who are going to go into heaven and live with them eternally, he says, because when you saw me and I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was sick, you went to visit me. When I was in prison, you came and you sat with me. And the righteous look at him and said, when did we see you sick? When did we see you naked? When did we see you without food? And Jesus said, whatever you do for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you do for me. I think the real point, the real picture we have to get into our mind of this parable is that Jesus, not only telling the story, is the man in the ditch. Doesn't make as good a name for a hospital, though. Man in the Ditch Hospital. Man attacked by robbers. Law. But I think that that's really a big part of this story. Because Jesus wants us to reach out to our neighbors in need. And when we do that, We are reaching out to Him. That's an amazing thought. And it makes the question, who is our neighbor, become irrelevant. It makes us realize that no matter who they are, what they are, what kind of person they are, Samaritan, Jew, doesn't matter. What matters is reaching out. And I don't mean just in the sense of it's not just an image of great human kindness or an exhortation to be uplifting. This is a real theological message that Jesus is saying, that part and parcel of loving God is that loving of the neighbor. That we learn to love God. The passage we read as a call to worship this morning in 1 John tells us, reminds us that we learn how to love God by loving each other. That's what I think this message is today. Blessed be the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.